This is Yasa Sagonige,
a 7th grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody, this is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Booker County in the mysterious Ozarks of Mid-America. Our guest this week is Maria Gourlay. She shaman, an astrologer, and counselor. Her website that we're going to be talking about tonight is at www.pachamama1world.com, P-A-C-H-A-M-A-M-A-1world.com. And welcome to the show, Maria. How are you?
I am wonderful, Blue Otter, and how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. We're looking forward. We were going to try to get Betty LeBeau on with you tonight and hope to do that in the future. And understand you've got some things you want to tell the folks tonight.
Yes, I do, Blue Otter. Benny was going to be with us tonight, but he wasn't able to make it, or I wasn't able to get a hold of him. But one of the reasons I'm on tonight is I want to speak about the Pachamama Conference, and I want to respell that. It's P-A-C-H-A-M-A-M-A, Mama Conference. That conference is happening this September, starting the 12th of September through the 25th. Of course, it doesn't go on for all those days. It goes on for 5 days within that time frame. We are going to be celebrating the Harvest Moon time on the 17th, and that's going to be in a sacred location in Peru called Sacsayhuaman. It is known as a spiritual fortress, and I've heard people on television comment that it's a military fortress, but it's not that kind of a fortress. It's really a spiritual fortress. And then we will culminate the 5 days of the conference at Machu Picchu, which is also a highly sacred location, and actually now considered one of the top spiritual locations in the world. And last year was voted the top spiritual location in the world by 47 different nations. Anyway, Benny LeBeau is part of this conference. He will be coming with us to Peru, and we're trying to assist Benny in coming with us to Peru. And so any of you that want to reach into your pocket and help Benny come to Peru, because he's a medicine person that does a whole bunch of incredible work, and he did the medicine wheels, and that brought us a lot of moisture and a lot of good changes with the weather. And we're wanting to bring him to South America in fulfillment of ancient prophecy. And he's part of that energy. And so are many other Native American people that I have worked with in North America. I have worked with the Lakota for a long time in a sacred pipe carrier in the Lakota tradition, and have worked with many other nations, which has been an incredible experience for me. The way this Pachamama conference came about is I began taking journeys to groups of people. I began actually going to Peru in the very early 90s and began to study with a shaman in the Amazon. And this is an ayahuasquero shaman by the name of Coronte. And worked with him for several years training in the medicine of the Amazon. Before I'd gone there, however, I had already become a pipe carrier. And oddly enough, the way things happen in the universe, we can have a plan, but spirit has a bigger plan. And when we function in spirit, the way spirit works things, then things just function a little differently. And this is how this all began for me, with a connection between the United States and South America. Now, during the time of training with Coronte, I had heard about the prophecy of the eagle of the north and the condor of the south. And the prophecy says that when the eagle of the north joins and flies with the condor of the south, then it is the time of Pachacute. And Pachacute means the transformation of the world. Pacha means Mother Earth or time, and Kute means to turn the world upside down. Now, aren't we right now at the time of Pachacute? At this time also, I want to mention that I titled my book Pachacute. My book should be out about the 1st of August, and you may be able to, and you can order that through my website, www.pachamama1world.com, or you can also call me at 719-219-3776. Later on, I'll give you my email address. But anyway, back to this prophecy when I worked in Peru, after working with in the Amazon for a while, I journeyed to Machu Picchu, and while at Machu Picchu, I came in touch with five sacred personages, and these personages gave me some incredible advice, and they asked me also to be their messenger, to be their representative, actually, and their messenger. They asked me to bring messages for humanity at this time of great global change. And they also told me that I would have no more physical teachers, that they would be my soul teachers and would train me for their work. And so I proceeded with this. I agreed to take on what they proposed to me. They told me I would meet two other personages later on in the future, which I did years later when I journeyed to a different location to connect with destiny. Now, in connecting with destiny, it brought me totally full circle to a greater understanding of the medicine of the Eagle of the North and the Condor of the South. By this time also, I had worked with the Quero elders. The Quero elders are those Inca elders that fled the empire at the time of the Spanish conquest, the conquest from Spain, and they lived up in Asungate, about 17,000 feet above sea level, until 1960, when their herds of guanaco and llamas started to die. And at that time, the Blue Lake started to dry up as well. Well, they knew prophecy, and at this time, they knew that when the Blue Lake began to dry, that it was the time of the next Pachacute. They felt that when there had been the invasion of the conquest, that had been one Pachacute, one major transformation for their way of life. But they knew that there was a greater transformation coming, and of course, we're in it right now, and it's the Pachacute. Everything's turning upside down in our world. We also have reached that 26,000-year mark when the world takes a change anyway. And so, with all things considered and all prophecies out, and that most people, I think, that listen to this type of show know about the prophecies or know many prophecies, and so all the prophecies are coming to pass, and there really isn't anything new. We just have to understand that the reason for joining the medicine of the Eagle and the Condor is that the people in the South know that the Condor is a very humble bird. So it's a humble bird that scavenges, it never kills. And it's always searching for love. The Eagle of the North is a very proud bird, can look into the sun, and it has been, its energy and symbol has been misused in the North when it was taken and imprinted in our dollar bills. And so what that has done is it has brought, taken the pride to such an extreme in our world that a sense of community through genocide of the Native American, through many other things that have happened in this country, has killed the spirit of community and the spirit of the family. And what this medicine of joining the medicine with the South is to bring the family and the community. The Inca have a system of community, and they call it Ayu, A-L-L-Y-U. And Ayu means that it is a community based on respect and love and an exchange, because they understood that when you exchange something, it has to be reciprocated. They have laws, like the laws of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity says that there has to be fair exchange for everything. So this is working the medicine and understanding that through humility, through understanding that we have to have that relationship with Mother Earth, that we have to be grateful for our food, we have to be grateful for our water, we have to bless what we have. And this is part of the work that I do, Benny. Bringing, now it's really critical when people at this, there's some really incredible things happening right now, even within the spiritual community movement. There are many elders that feel that the medicine of the North should not be joined with the South, and there is problems where there's been people that have been attacked, really. And this is really something that's really out of the norm and shouldn't be happening, because at this time we have to come together as spiritual people that really see one world, one nation, one people. There's already enough hatred. There's already enough chaos in our world, such as the bombing today that happened in London. And so what we really want, what these sacred beings have said to me, and by the way, let me tell you who these beings are, and then I'll continue with my talk here. These beings are the decision makers for what happens in the earth. They report to the last two beings that I was brought before after 3.5 years of training. And they brought me before the last two beings, and these two beings rule the entire universe. Do I have to remember?
So Maria, you're telling me that the three, there were three that brought you before two?
No, five of them. The five beings that I first met told me that they would bring me before two other beings.
Fascinating.
What was it?
I said that's fascinating because I always look for signs or reports of three or four, or three that as Hatham Lake reported three beings that reported to one who reported to Creator,
mm-hmm.
And it's not surprising to me at all. Didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. I'm glad you broke in, and feel free to break in at any time. But these five beings that came to me, and they came to me at 4 o'clock in the morning, and this is all a part of my book, and for the next 3.5 years, I walked in silence, and I walked with them every day. I couldn't even hold a job. I lived on a shoestring type thing. 3 years later, when they told me I was ready, I went to connect with destiny. I did not know at that time that I was going to this particular location. All they told me is, come to Peru, you will meet a shaman, he's 36 years old, and we will guide you to him. And that's all I had to go on. So I left for Peru. Actually, I went with a group of people, but we separated because they weren't meant to go on this journey. And I won't get into that story because that's also another long story, but when I came before these two, actually, it was pretty, pretty incredible because the female came first, and then the male came and stood at her side. And some people don't want to believe that these things happen, but they do. So the last two that I met was the Divine Mother and God. And this is who I was brought before. Now, it is not easy for me to say this because there are many people that cannot even fathom that this is possible. But we all have a purpose in life, and we all have different work to do. When I was a child, my father told me that to connect with destiny was the greatest thing any human being could do in a lifetime. Well, I did this, but I still did not know who exactly I was standing before, because I myself could not fathom that who I was standing before. I just felt these are incredible light beings. The light of these beings was unbelievable, and their form was incredible. So to make the point finally straight, I was called back to the same location, and we don't mention these locations, a second time, and that was November of 1998. And at this time, when I went to this location, and let me just diverge here for a minute. At the same time that I began to train with the Sacred Ones, I'd been working with the Blessed Mother for many years, and the Blessed Mother had come to me since I was a child. Well, the Blessed Mother began to come and be my daily companion, because you got to understand that I was walking this long path by myself. I didn't have any contact. I probably see very few people during the week. I was living in Dallas, Texas, although I lived in the city. I spend most of my time at the Nature Center, which was about 20-some miles outside of Dallas, because I had to be in nature, because that was an easier place for communication and for meeting. And so at this time I began to work with the Blessed Mother on a day-to-day basis, and then within about a year and a half after that, she brought three other goddesses and introduced me to three other goddesses that I began to work with and began to train. And these particular goddesses had trained me for different purposes. Every one of these goddesses trained me in a different manner. And the Blessed Mother oversaw the training. So this is all going on at the same time. So on the second time I was called back to Peru to go on this initiation, I came again before the last two, and this time it was so different because this time I was taken literally out of the earth, my body was. And as I stood before the Divine Mother and God, the Blessed Mother stood to their side, and she said to me, "Why is it that you cannot understand where you're at or who you are before? Why do you refuse to acknowledge you're already here with us?" And at that point, I understood the magnitude of what she was saying.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And after that time, my training changed a little because the sacred ones would still come. But then my training changed, and I began to receive direct communication, because I also made it a point to say to the sacred ones, and I did make my commitment to the sacred ones in March of 1994, I call them sacred ones or decision makers. They're the same beings. At the same time, I said to them that I would never channel, that if they wanted to communicate with me, that we would telepath, but I would never channel because I would never be susceptible to that kind of energy. And that was our agreement. And my agreement was that I would have no more physical teachers and that I would let go of everything in my life. And I mean everything. And of course, that happened all the way down the list here. So the main message that is coming down for humanity is that we have a choice. We have a choice to heal. We can no longer have war within us. If we have war within us towards any other person, or we have animosity, or we have hatred, then that is going to literally keep us in that bondage. I don't know about anyone, but for myself, it's like, I paid a huge price in this lifetime, in many ways, because I made a commitment that I wanted to ascend with Mother Earth. And I assure you that Mother Earth will ascend. Now, there's a lot of people that will tell you that we are in a free will planet. Maybe. We have been in a free will. That's why we're in such a chaos right now. Correct?
Correct.
So now the words directly, this is from Jesus, because at this time I've also worked with Jesus, Archangel Michael, and any other masters. And the direct words from Jesus was that it's easier to create a human being than it is to create a planet. And God will intercede on behalf of Mother Earth. And she will not be torn apart, because she cannot literally withstand another cataclysm, the magnitude of Atlantis and Lemuria. And
that's understandable.
Yes, she cannot withstand that. And now to go back into the goddesses, because it's really critical at this time upon the earth. I will not discuss everything that I'm told right now at this meeting at Blue Otter, but one thing that I can say is that Mama Kali, the destroyer of illusion, who is the Divine Mother, is getting ready to dance upon the earth. And nothing, absolutely nothing, can stand against her. And that, this, what I'm communicating things, what I'm communicating right now is what I have been told directly by Mama Kali, who was one of the goddesses that trained me, who is the Divine Mother. Now, in India, they revere Kali as the destroyer of illusion. Many people fear her, rightly so, because she destroys illusion. The goddess Inanna is a great transformer. The sacred grandmothers that came to me at Yellowstone, the seven sacred grandmothers, they are concerned. The same sacred grandmothers came to me in Sedona. They are concerned about the planet. There have been many people, many groups that I have participated with, and we have participated in ceremony to avert the volcanoes in the Pacific Rim, or to cool the waters in Yellowstone. So we are doing our work upon the world. Now, why is this so critical for us to literally go to sacred locations such as this group? I was told many by the sacred ones back in 97, 98 that I would be doing work in Peru and that I was to bring people there. And the sacred ones told me that there would be people that would be pointed out to me, and I should mention these people that they had to come on this journey. But I was supposed to just say, you are to come on this journey, you're invited, you're supposed to go there. And then I'm supposed to leave it alone. If that person comes, it would be fine. If they don't come, it's fine. But the reason people go, and the reason there's so many spiritual travelers now going about the world that travel to different parts of the world, is for a very simple reason. Within the bloodstream of the people of light, who are direct descendants of Mother Goddess, the Divine Mother, and God. And there are two of them that become one. And I saw it personally, personal experience I'm talking about. Now, the reason that people travel to different locations is because there are codes within your bloodstream. And not everybody has them, because we have too many of the other kind that don't have any light in their veins in the planet right now. That's one of the major problems in the planet right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have light codes in your body, in your physical body, those light codes, they're like a puzzle. Those light codes trigger energies in the areas where we go to. And when I take people to Peru, I take them to particular locations, and sometimes outside the tourist trail, for sure. When we go to these locations, we do ceremonies. We do North American and South American ceremonies. I do star connection and star rite ceremonies. So what we do is we literally are triggering the energies and triggering the greed upon our globe. And actually, let me take it even further. We're triggering the greed at a cosmic level, because what people have to understand right now is that the change that we're experiencing in the world right now is beyond. It's beyond even our solar system, because the entire solar system, our galaxies right now, are expanding. In the last few years, there's been 257 planets that have been discovered within our solar system. Not because our solar system, because we were able to reach out to the richest of space. It is because our solar system is completely in a process of expansion. Humanity, we as human persons, human beings, we are so self-centered that the universe revolves around us here.
Mm-hmm.
It, or we think it does.
Yeah.
But it is beyond this. When I met with the cosmic astrologers, when we had the major alignment, May of 2000, when we had the major alignment in Taurus, at that time I met with the cosmic astrologers. They are the ones that explained this to me. In my book, there are many other revelations that literally fit in with what I'm speaking of. And these are revelations because we can no longer keep a small world here. While we're here fighting over a piece of bread, there's entire galaxies, entire worlds that are forming around us. We are literally, Mother Earth is on her way, as told to me by the spirits of the jungle in 1993, Mother Earth is on her way to receive her cosmic wings. And I was talking to Benny, my friend that I've mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we were first discussing this radio program, and Benny and I were talking because if you have war in your heart, if you have anger, if you have animosity to another race, to another person, that'll literally keep you from literally riding with Mother Earth to her fourth dimensional status, which Mother Earth is on her way. She will not be denied this time. This was supposed to have happened when Atlantis happened. She is on her way to receive her cosmic wings because her cosmic wings were promised to her at that time. And I think that's pretty awesome. And so there's going to be a lot of major, major global changes, but not only are they global, they're planetary. They're cosmic changes that are happening.
That's fascinating, because I heard the legend of the Earth and her wings.
Uh-huh.
And that one time we were not just one sphere, that we had other spheres stacked on our poles.
Mm-hmm.
And that within these other spheres return, particularly the one from the north, that it would cause the great earthquake that's mentioned in the Bible. And but yeah, this is a, I don't know if we're talking about a physical or a spiritual thing, but the idea that the earth has had wings is something I've heard of before.
I had never heard it before, Benny, until it was told to me in the Amazon that she was going to receive her cosmic wings. But I want to thank you for sharing that, because if we go back to the teachings of Zechariah Sitchin, and when the planet was literally split off from Marduk, and so we can go into that and look at that. So it's we tend to limit, and you know, it is so amazing that we could be such an educated people. And I'm talking planetary, the whole planet. But no, we have to divide and conquer and kill. And so I am glad that we have the opportunity, that Mother Earth has the opportunity to move herself, to remove herself from those arms of chaos. And that there will be intervention on her behalf. Now, I find it very interesting that you mentioned the great earthquake, because that is prophesied, right?
Yes.
In 1999, in a sacred ceremony in Taos, New Mexico, I saw that earthquake. And that earthquake, when it hits, it's going to hit, and I was told it was going to hit, and this was told to me by the sacred ones that I work with, and also by the Divine Mother. When she walks upon the earth, her footsteps may be silent because she's already here. As you have seen, there's been a great increase in the goddess awareness, because the goddess will no longer be denied. And to bring everything back into the balance, how it's been told to me is that it's not about women and it's not about men. It's about human beings that aspire to the light and want to be part of the light and want to have homes and want to be happy people and don't want to have to be slaves to a system that has failed the human family. And the system has failed in every country, has failed, so have religions. They have failed the human family, and they have failed the true teachings, because they color everything with lies to keep us in bondage and keep us in slavery. And for those people who are ready to move out of slavery, well, you know what? It's sometimes we have to swallow hard, and sometimes we have to be, we have to learn how to be very humble and walk very humble, because if we don't have that humility, everything is wiped away. We're only that far away. So we always have to remember that humility. Now, it took a lot for me to be able to say to people, even to speak about the first five beings that I met. And then when I spoke about the last two and who they were, I've lost friends over it, because they couldn't believe that I could be having this kind of communication. Well,
what they meant to say was they didn't believe they could have that kind of communication, therefore you couldn't.
Oh, well, thank you for giving me a different light on that, because
it's
and of course I felt bad and didn't talk about it for, and finally about a year and a half ago, I was told that I had not been given this information, had been trained in this manner, so that I could keep the information hidden.
Mm.
And so everything in process, and I have a lot more things that I share in my book. Sometimes it's difficult to start talking and then to remember everything that you want to cover. So the emphasis of this talk is this, is that, first of all, we are descendants of, we have divine inheritance. We have sovereignty. Our sovereignty and our divine inheritance is directly from Mother Goddess and God, whom I am humbled that I have stood before. And they have given me this message to give to every single person that's willing to listen, so that every person knows that they are a divine spark of creatrix and creator, because they are both. But they will never divide, so they are one. So we can say goddess in the same word of goddess, we're saying God. And we can say God in the same word, we're saying goddess. Because we're the only ones that divide, because they don't.
Well, you know, every time when Creator started speaking to me years ago, and then later on when I asked who the Creator was, and when the Creator came back and told me, ever since then I've listened carefully to Creator's voice when it comes to me, and although, you know, the male voice is a little bit louder than the female voice, but whenever I hear that voice, it sounds male, but as it trails off, it sounds female. In other words, it's like a male and a female speaking at the same time, but the overtones are female.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that, because it's, you know, now I will say this to you, that when the Mama Kali speaks, and when she comes through, she is so phenomenal that she is almost inhuman, which is understandable, but understand it from the other perspective, that she would scare most people.
Yeah.
And so people that have had encounters with Mama Kali understand that. And she once she gets moving, there is no stopping her. Now, I know that we are being very closely watched. The Earth is being very closely watched. The Earth has been closely watched since the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Mm.
And so now we have a lot of threat in our world. And so now we have to get right with ourselves. This is the year of the hummingbird, Blue Otter, and I find it interesting that hummingbird is about integrity. It's about love, but it's also about integrity. And integrity is having self-love. Integrity is also having love for another human person. But have you noticed how much integrity has played such a major role this year?
Yeah, I just had a conversation with a friend over this exact same issue of integrity.
Yeah. And it's hitting us, and what I noticed is if it's a spiritual teacher doing work, it's kind of like a few years ago, I remember we used to say it's like instant karma.
Yep.
Now it's kind of like it's a step ahead of you, and it's that mirror always in front of you, and so it's walking in that path of humbleness, and yet we still walk as spiritual warriors because that's who we are.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Will Blue Otter speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
And for many people here don't want to be here now, right now. Things are really getting hot, and I don't blame them. There used to be a time when I used to feel this way, and there is tremendous fear being perpetrated on humanity right now. And we're going to see more of it. And we're seeing all kinds of different disruption, the things that are happening now with children. That's another prophecy that comes right out of the Bible. There's a lot of prophecy, there's a lot of things out there that we look at. The thing of it is that never have we ever needed prayer and meditation and more than we need it at this time upon the earth. We're going to need it for our children. We're going to need to be peacemakers even when we don't feel like we want peace in families. There's sometimes that you don't want to give in because you know you're right. And there's sometimes that we have to give in because that means peace.
Right.
So I guess you would call it the path of less resistance.
Right.
Or you know, it's kind of like it's a glass half empty or half full, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's the same thing. So we have to become like the water. We have to flow like the water. We have to fill the container. We have to hold ourselves within that container, and because nobody wins. If we want to be right, nobody wins. And we all have those situations come up for us. I think with all the intensity astrologically, we have had such intensity, and I can assure you that the intensity of the planets, especially the generational planets, are literally creating massive changes. Today, when I was listening to some of the commentaries after this bombing in London, one man said, well, God did this. It's God's plan. Well, no, I don't think God told these people to go put a bomb there. That's humans doing. That's what humans do.
Right.
It's not God that does that. It's just wrong thinking. But it's easy to blame God, you know. One thing I tell a lot of people is that the dark side of the force, the darkness, they're very organized in their effort. Very super organized. They know where they're going, and they are all of one mind. But sometimes in the spiritual community, you don't find that. And I'm mentioning this, Blue Otter, because there have been some elders that have really come out with some really negative things towards attempting to join this medicine of the North and the South. But it could be the Orient and the North, you know. It doesn't make a difference. When we go to different places within the world to unite and to bring these medicines, it's like when I was told to go to Yellowstone, and I went to Yellowstone and to cool the waters there, and I poured water in those lakes from that water that we collected from different places in the world. And it cooled that, at least it bought us some time, because that's what we're doing, really. It's like we're buying time so that we can really get the spiritual family prepared. Because, you know, when push comes to shove, and we do have this massive earthquake that is going to happen at some point if these warmongers don't straighten out their act, then we're going to have to band together, and it's not going to make a difference what color you are, or we're going to have to let go of all that foolishness. We're going to have to band together and to share our food and to share whatever we have, because it's going to mean survival.
That's certainly true. That's the whole thing that I've been working toward, and it's very difficult to find people. They're on the same kind of wavelength as far as that goes. That's a difficult thing. You know, finding the property and those other things, but putting the people on it and allowing them to live in peace, it just seems like, it seems like so far I've maybe been unable to find anybody out of the traditional Christian communities that can even approach this, because they have their dogmas, and if you don't think the same as they do, then you're of the devil or something. I run into it time after time, and that's going to be a tough one. But Gordon Michael Scallion's seen the same thing, and he said that the thing is going to being put in front of us is that we're going to need to go into small agricultural communities if there's going to be any kind of physical survival. But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
And you didn't, and you are so correct. One time when everybody, there's a lot of people that have, let's make a community, let's build a community. And of course, I didn't have a pot to piss on. But anyway, I went to the sacred ones, and I said, I don't know how we're going to fit, because all these people that are building this community require all this money and so forth. And the sacred one said to me at that point, no, you don't build any more new communities. The communities are already there. The communities are there. You go strengthen those communities. So the communities are already there. I think that when we see something so massive and we're all brought down to our knees, and it will happen, and we are going to be brought down to our knees, and I have no problem hitting my knees. I've done that plenty of times.
Uh-huh.
And I think that when we get to that place and it's survival, I think everybody that is going to survive is going to have to come to the understanding. And that brings me also to the point that the goddesses have insisted that the women have got to play an incredibly important point right now. And I do want to put this out there because it is critical right now that women coming to, women have always been power. Men are fire, women are power. There's a total correct misunderstanding that men are power. Men are not power, men are fire. Women are power, natural power. But woman has forgotten this because of her own self-betrayal or because of betrayal of the sisterhood. But women have now got to get to the point to where they solidify. My grandmother came to me in the mountains. This is my father's grandmother. She came to me as a Neanderthal. And those are my beginnings in this planet, Neanderthal. My grandmother said to me, you must form an unshakable sisterhood. That doesn't mean that the men don't have a place. I keep repeating that because it's not about men and it's not about women. It's about human people. The vision for the earth has always, always, this directly told to me by God himself. The vision for the earth has always been the family. It has not changed because we're in the 21st century. And so what we have to come to understand that a man has his role and a woman has his role. And not one is greater than the other. But at this time, in order to balance the masculine energy that has gone totally out of control, the women have got to step to the forefront and take on those leadership, and they have to teach their daughters how to be women, how to be mothers, and they have to heal the men because the men have lost their way. The men will always lose their way when the women don't want to heal the men. And now we have many women in the world that are G.I. Janes, and they confuse the men even further. Then it drives the wedge even further. And all it creates more testosterone, and what we need is women to move with that feminine energy and that feminine power that is innately theirs. A woman will never and can never get power from a man. I don't care what she does. It's not possible. A woman already is. But a woman also has to understand that she's got to wield that power with total humility, because if she doesn't wield it with total humility, that power is taken away. She will have no power. I write about everything I've spoken about extensively in my book, The Water, because this book began, actually, I'll tell you, this book began because the shaman, Coronte, that I first met, he asked me to write about his life. And I began to write about his life. But when I met the Sacred Ones in 1994, March of 94, they were very clear. They said to me, this book is not about you or any Don. This book is about our message to the world. It's taken me a long time. I started that book in 93. I was going to throw it out a few times. First of all, I was never a writer. I've had to learn. So now this book is coming out, and I can say that I'm actually proud of this book, the way it's turned out, and it's changed many times, but it's now ready to come out into the world because now is the time for it to come out. We always think that it's supposed to come out when we thought it's supposed to come out, or at least I thought, but no, it's coming out when it's needed. It's coming out because, as the Divine Mother and God said to me, you are the last messengers. There's not another messenger. We're not sending anybody else. If they don't get it now, they don't get it.
Yeah.
That's why I guess my book has taken so long. And we know that we're approaching the end of the Mayan calendar. And so everything is timing as it would. Right now, this global summit, summit that they're having in Scotland, the part of it they're discussing the global warming. Well, it is strange because in parts of the Amazon, the temperature has dropped.
Well, oh, you're kidding.
No, the temperature has dropped in some areas of the Amazon. They're not reporting this, but the temperature has dropped. When I worked with Coronte back in the early 90s, he was telling me that the temperature has dropped. They noticed that the temperature has dropped in the Amazon. And when I was in the Amazon, I took a blanket every time I went there because I needed a blanket to go to sleep with because it was cold.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Yeah, we seem to be going into a ice age, you know, a volcanism. They know now scientifically that ice ages are accompanied by or preceded by a lot of volcanoes.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the Hopi said it was going to be cold. And I was told years ago, before I knew about the prophecies, Creator told me that it was going to get colder. So even before my son was born, my wife and I, trying to make some physical preparations, we didn't have any children at that time. So we knew footwear was going to be very important because that's the part of you comes in contact with the cold, usually. And we felt like, well, if we had to go in shelter, you know, it was very important to get warm footwear. So we found, we went to Big Lots one day, and we found a good buy on moon boots, and we were able to buy, I think it was only $1 or $2 a pair, able to buy little insulated moon boots, about every size you can imagine. And I think, you know, it cost us $23, and you know, we bought them and put them in a box and sealed them up for the future.
We have to. I was in the San Luis Valley, and by the way, the San Luis Valley here in Colorado is, we humans have the habit of giving names to mountains and rivers without asking without doing a shamanic ceremony and asking that river what's its name. In Peru, the Incas have always asked the rivers and the mountains what their names are. And they work with the spirits of the mountains and the rivers, and they get the names. They never name anything unless they ask that mountain what it wants to be called. Well, several instances here. For one thing, Pike's Peak is not Pike's Peak. That's like so ignorant, and it's such an offense to the mountain. That peak's name is Queen of the Snows. Queen of the Snows in Inca means Coyoriti. In Spanish, it's Reina de la Nieve, Queen of the Snows, Reina de la Nieve, de las Nieves. And the San Luis Valley is El Valle Sagrado. It relates to the Sacred Valley in Peru. And so we have to start looking at things to be in harmony with the earth. So what we learned from this medicine of the eagle and the condor is that we have to be in harmony with the mountains because the mountains can shelter us. The mountains and the mountain spirit can tell us where to go. We have to start establishing this communication. I have that because when I trained with the sacred ones, I walked a long walk for 7.5 years before they sent me into the world, which was really upsetting to me because I didn't know how to be around people anymore.
Yeah.
And now I'm okay. I can be around people, but at that point I didn't. And I went through my abandonment issues because they were not going to be with me every day as they had been. They were not going to be with me in the same presence. But I had work to do out here in the world to take my message out to the world and to bring this information forth. So when people, and Benny needs to come to Peru because he was pointed to me by spirit. And so one of the things I'm doing is I'm appealing to the public to, Benny doesn't have the money, he's a medicine man. He travels all over the place, giving us his services, his time. He doesn't charge anybody, you know.
Yep.
He doesn't charge anybody for his services. And I don't have money to pay for him to go to Peru. I'm trying to raise money because I'm supposed to build a soup kitchen in Peru because there's a lot of hungry people there. Well, you know. Those are things that we need to do because we have to feed people. We have to clothe people. We have to help people in our own communities. We have to strengthen our communities. We can't do anything without money. if you with Prophecy Radio are having a problem. You're not getting any funds to keep the radio going.
Yeah, and while we're on that subject, you know, we used to have excellent visitor traffic, you know, for about a year. You know, we got 70, 80 people a day, and then, you know, the 1st of January, that started just going down and down. And even though we have more people linking to us, we have less traffic. So I don't know. The internet's a really funny place. I don't think I'll ever figure it out. But go ahead.
You know, I would recommend. I will do something for you, Benny. I have a whole bunch of advertisement that I bought from Stardust, and they reach thousands and thousands of people. And if you send me an ad, what I will do is I'll send it to my friend, because I have paid, I have like 20-some sessions that I paid for advertising. And if you send me an ad put together to appeal for funds, what I will do is I will have my friend Raja put it on the net and send it out. He sends it out to at least 100,000 people.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. I'll get in touch with you about that.
Yeah.
I know Raj. We're pretty good friends.
Okay.
We would.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfasts and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed, and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
We did some advertising last year, but it's really interesting. He got a lot of flack from people about the website because, you know, Dr. Ghostwolf's been very badly slandered. And so people were mad about that, and he was constantly, you know, running interference about that. And, you know, there's another incident where, we believe that you have a right to defend yourself.
Yeah.
And at one point, you know, I think I had an ad up there. If people were interested in buying a self-defense product called a stun gun, and then the next thing I hear is somebody complaining that we were selling electronic torture devices on the Prophecy Keepers website. So I just went, oh man, you know. So, and we were having problems with our server, and so Raj said, you know, maybe the best thing to do is to wait till you get your server fixed, and it's fixed, and give it a try again.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like danged if you do, danged if you don't, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, that's where people are going to really have to be doing some growing up, because, you know, I sometimes have spoken, I'm very outspoken, and I have seen some things wrong, and when I see them wrong, I'm not into being codependent. So when I see things wrong, whether it's in a group or wherever it is, I made a commitment to Mama Cully, and that I would take a stand whenever I needed to take a stand, and they always seem to show me when I need to do that.
Yeah. Well, we sure appreciate Raj. He sure tried.
Yeah.
He got a lot of complaints, you know,
goodness,
about what we're doing. But, you know, I can't, Dr. Ghostwolf The year before, they went after Art Bell. They went after Ghost Wolf. And, you know, he's the kind of a guy that doesn't, he won't defend himself. And I know the story, you know, of what happened. And, it's just so easy to believe gossip. Gossip is the most destructive thing, and it's so prevalent in our world that even the best people I know get involved with gossip. You know, there's any community of people that live together and try to, if they don't keep the hard and fast rule not to talk about somebody who isn't present, it will destroy their community.
It destroys everything. It can destroy a lot. And that's why it is so bad. But, you know, it's kind of like people, that's why I say to you, Bluewater, the dark forces are united in one effort. The spiritual holistic community is not. Like, we have some elders up north that have really attacked Benny. Because Benny is trying to come to South America. And they have literally attacked him. They have no support. And this is insane, because it's kind of like we only have one planet, and it's not about trying to decide how are we going to divide this planet. How I see it is that there's a lot of plans between some people that how are we going to divide the planet when it's over? We're going to take this back because this was my land or whatever.
Yeah.
It's that, like, that is retarded thinking. it's not even going to go there.
Those people won't even be allowed with
it. Exactly.
They won't be here.
What the hierarchy, the divine hierarchy, the divine mother, Jesus, God, the sacred ones have said to me, those people that have any malice in their heart of any kind will not be left in the planet. Their vibration will not be able to handle a fourth dimensional vibration.
Yeah.
And as we move into that fifth world, we always go like 21st century, you know, the fifth world, but we're really moving into the fourth dimensional vibration. And we can't jump vibrations like a lot of people. I hear such inane things sometimes. A lot of people tell you about the 24th dimension. Heck, we can't even handle the three we're on.
Yeah.
You know? And the first and the second is seeping into our world.
Yep.
And that's why we have so much chaos right now. And anyway, Benny, I think I'm calling you Benny now. I apologize.
Okay, that's all right.
We're just going to have to call Benny and tell him we're thinking of him.
That's right.
And
are your ears itching?
But anyway, Bluewater, I really appreciate your time and taking the time to allow me to do this radio interview. And do send me some information, and I'll put it on that and support it from there. And,
you bet. Well,
you know, I don't have a problem. If people attack, I was already prepared for that. I was trained for that, you know.
It's, you know, we just forget about things. I know I've had conversations with Ed McGaugh on issues, you know. You know, you're a pipe carrier right now, and, you know, I'm sure you're being attacked for that. And now they want to change the rules.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and Ed is an Oglala Lakota, and he said, you know, they're even kind of even thinking about a hierarchy, you know, similar to what the Catholic Church has, and making their liturgy, of course, you know, a Lakota liturgy is pretty much set anyway. It's the exact, kind of the polar opposite of Cherokee.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. You know, it all comes out of anger, too.
It does.
It all comes out of anger. And
Benny was telling me that they were holding a meeting up in the north. And we're talking some major elders. We're talking even the person that is supposed to be holding the pipe. And if the pipe is even on the earth anymore, and not, that's another thing. Geronimo appeared to me, came to me in the clouds in 1994 and told me that once the white buffalo was born, the first white buffalo, he told me the buffalo was going to be born in 94. And then he told me that the pipe was going to be taken from the earth. Because it was being misused. So,
well, you know, I've got a good friend named Charles Yao, and Charles is an attorney. And I think he has a website at redcloudlaw.com.
Uh-huh.
And he also has a website at yowlaw.com. And Charles became the tribal counsel for the Oglala Sioux tribe, and head offices on the reservation. And you know, his partners were the Red Cloud family, and you know, the Red Clouds are a very prominent family there.
Mm-hmm.
And they formed the Oyate and had to sit in. Not too long ago, Oliver Red Cloud was their chief. But then, you know, Charles started to discover some corruption and exposed it. And then, you know, he found himself locked out of his office, banished from the reservation. But, you know, now they've got Indians all over the North America, you know, looking at that situation and taking a close look, because you know, the corruption is getting so bad in Indian nations that not too many years ago, Canadian Native women for the first time broke with tradition and turned the men in the tribal councils that were involved in corruption.
Mm-hmm.
We got some major problems in Indian country. You know, and I just look at it and say, hey, you know, Indians are engaging in the types of behaviors that white people were engaging in 100
exactly.
years ago, and, you know, and a lot of them have moved on from, and, you know, there's so many Indians hate white people, and, you know, it's a situation where there was a lot of hatred from white people toward Indians, and they moved on from that. And I was watching a movie a couple of years ago about the situation about apartheid in South Africa, and in this documentary there was a black person speaking that that there had been an old saying back in the old days, the black people were being very patient with the white people. And they always used to say to themselves, when the white people turn from hating us, will we have turned from loving them? And I know the Cherokee people dearly loved white people. I mean, we really dug white folks, you know, and wanted to be like them and wanted to incorporate technology, but they just kept coming and coming and coming, and they told us this and told us that, and, you know, the only thing, truth they told us was is they were going to take our land.
Yep.
You know, and we had a lot of it, and the Cherokee Nation had always passed out land to people that came in order to keep the peace, but in the end there wasn't enough. And so we, you know, I guess it's just gotten to the point where Mother Earth is just going to say enough.
Let's see what belongs to you. Do I belong to any of you?
Yeah, and you know, I used to really think that was a hateful concept, you know, back, you know, when the New Age movement started going, you know, I used to think how hateful it was that they were saying that, you know, that people just weren't on the right wavelength were going to have to move on. But, you know, I guess there isn't any other way.
Yeah, it's like Benny mentioned the other day, you know what? He says, what we're getting, what I'm getting, he says, is that those that don't fit in with the vibrations in the new energy in the new world that is forming and is coming, they're going to be, we laugh because he says, they're going to be sent to the shredder.
Well, you know, it's not that we're praying for this, I mean, for them to go to the shredder. We're praying for them to stay out.
Exactly.
You know, otherwise it's witchcraft. You know, if we pray
exactly.
for a certain person to, you know, to be destroyed or...
Mm-hmm.
or
and we don't. It's about that we got to hold that energy. We got to hold the energy
right.
for the life, which you and I and other people do, because that's why you have this radio program, to bring the awareness and create the awareness. But what is coming down is that, you know, it's like we got to get it together. You know, we can't just say, yeah, there is a shredder. It's a different kind of a shredder, and of course, who wants to even think of that? That's a kind of a cruel thing to think about.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? It's there.
Yeah.
Not because you and I did anything to put it there. It's because it's there.
Yeah. And you hate to think about people that you love, but, you know, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth someday, and we can't all go there. We've got to, you know, we've got to love each other. I mean, it's just, you know, I've run across people that, you know them for years and years, and all of a sudden they just turn on you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so sad. It's so sad. And it's generally over divergence of some stupid belief. And always, it always seems to be an argument about what or who creator is or the nature.
Yeah.
Creator. And it's, and they know creator better than you do, or it's written somewhere, or it was this or that, and
it goes like back to religion, you know. It's kind of like, let's have the Presbyterians, let's have the Catholics, let's have this, let's have the other. Well, you know, Our Lady of the Americas has something major to say about that. And I won't go into that discourse now, but she has something major to say about religion. Because what are religions? Look at what's happening in our political system now with the Republican Party and the religion. They're showing me against church and state.
Well,
it's a very dangerous thing that's happening.
Well, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show, and hope to get you back on soon. And our prayers go out. We want to encourage everybody to help Benny get down to the conference.
Okay, and if anybody has any funds that they can send them to Benny, and you can contact Benny through me, or you can contact Benny through, you probably have his numbers probably on your website, right? Benny LeBeau.
It is.
And either through myself or through Blue Water, and so we can help him get to Peru.
Right. There'll be a link from the webpage that people are listening to this interview. There'll be a link to his website and to your website.
Yes. And also, if anybody feels called, like they want to come to Peru, please feel free to give me a call. Again, my number is 719-219-3776, or my email is mariagrule@adelphia.net. And you can also call, if you didn't get that, please feel free to call Blue Water, and Blue Water, maybe you can join us sometime for Peru.
You bet. I'd love to, if funding becomes available. Well, yes. Thank you, Maria.
Well, thank you, and blessings to you.
Hey, thank you so much now.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh-grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of 2/3 of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek
of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault.
Let the truth